Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 20th of June, Anno Domini 2015, and you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. That's right, Steve Ray is not here. One step ahead of the law somewhere in the
Steve's
Midwest.
Steve's not here, man.
Steve. It's Steve. Steve's not here, man. All right. There's your flashback for the day. The guy who played Nick Danger has passed. That's a very sad thing for those of us of a certain age. Nicky Nick. Password storing CloudBiz LastPass is urging its users to change their master passwords after hackers broke into the network at the end of last week. The intrusion reportedly happened on Friday afternoon, but many LastPass users are only learning about it now. LastPass had a security scare last time in 2011. In our investigation, we found no evidence that encrypted user data vault was taken, nor that LastPass user accounts were accessed, CEO Joe Segrist said in a blog post on Monday. The investigation has shown, however, that LastPass account email addresses, password reminders, server per user salts, and authentication hashes were compromised. As a result, the company is requiring all users who log into the service from a new device or IP address to verify their identities via email or two-factor authentication. Users will also be prompted to reset their master passwords, and LastPass is reminding them that if they use their master passwords or as a password on any other site, to change the password on those sites as well. This is why we tell you use a different password on every site.
Yeah.
Passwords to other sites that were stored on LastPass, however, are thought to have not been compromised. LastPass says it protects its authentication hashes with 100,000 rounds of server-side PBKDF2-SHA-256 encryption, which is said makes it difficult to attack the stolen hashes with any significant speed. However, it's not impossible that someone could brute force the process and discover your master password, particularly if your password is ABC123. However, if your master password is complex, you should be safe. It will take an attacker far too long to crack your password. Setting up two-factor authentication kills the problem dead anyway. Some LastPass users weren't pleased with how they found out about the breach. In comments posted to the company's website on Monday, many expressed dismay that they learned of the incident via Reddit, Twitter, and elsewhere rather than direct email from LastPass. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is LastPass got hacked. And your choices are, I'll change my password immediately. I should change my password, huh? Meh, I'm sure I'm safe. And last what now? I'd love to tell you how many people have voted in the polls already, but we have no internet access here at the studio.
Oops, for so, a computer show.
Yeah, for a computer show, so kind of oops today. Of course, you'll have more to say on this. So when you're done actually voting in the poll, you can go down the right-hand side of the page, and you will see under something or other the forums. Interesting stuff. Under interesting stuff, you'll see forums. And the second forum down is the poll discussion, and the top thing there is 20 June 15, LastPass got hacked. And, of course, you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415. That's one of the main reasons that I use KeePass.
Mm-hmm.
KeePass X for Linux, KeePass Droid. For my Android tablets, the only thing that doesn't have a KeePass thing that I know of is Chromebooks.
We have talked about before, I mean, and I know you've experienced the same thing. you can go into like an office environment and that type of thing. And there's the common places that you can look. Usually if they've got a drawer that pulls open and it's got like a shelf on it, usually they got it taped to there. Look underneath the bottom part of the keyboard. Or like in this one case, I went to this one client and he has Porsches, pictures of Porsches all over his office. The one dead head was a Porsche in the ear. So, didn't know the password, so I tried Porsche. And I said, incorrect. So then I put in Porsche, and then that year that the poster had on it, bingo, I was in. And doing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, or 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1. Yeah, they're all easy ones, you know, to crack, and doesn't take long to do it. And yep. So what? It's a little inconvenient for you. You know, it's your data. It depends on whether you want to get hacked or not, or all of a sudden get a call saying, did you just purchase $900 at a gift shop out in California? Meanwhile, you're sitting here in Rochester. No? Gee, somebody was trying to do it. And especially if you don't have the protection on that right now.
Yep. And people call all the time.
Yeah.
I think I got hacked. Somebody stole my password. What do I do? Well, what you should have done is had a more complex password.
Yeah.
Than 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Well, there's a number of sites that'll tell you how strong that password is. And we always tell you to, you know, change it up. You know, and substitute letters or exclamation marks or whatever for letters. You know, I mean, instead of the letter E, do a 3. Or, you know, I mean, there's so many different ways you can do a combo up and make it easy for you to remember. Yeah, it's a little inconvenient. Oh, well, get, you know, build a bridge, get over it.
The choice is you lose all your data.
Yeah.
And that's your choice. And a lot of people think there's safety in numbers because, you know, there's a billion people out there and mm-hmm. I don't have anything important.
Yeah, right.
That's not the point. The point is this is all happening at computer speeds.
Yeah.
So the numbers don't mean a thing to the computer, and who you are doesn't mean a thing to the computer.
Nope,
if they can get at you, they will steal whatever they can find.
And they'll take it and run and have a good time with it. And
and if they get passwords.
You get the headaches of trying to straighten that all out with your credit card companies and everybody else saying, no, that's not right. Me and everything
More
else.
Importantly, there's your reputation.
Yeah.
Apparently, for a lot of these people, the reputation means nothing to them.
True. Yeah.
Because if I steal your Facebook password, I can say all kinds of horrible things.
Mm-hmm.
Your Twitter password, the same thing. Your Google Plus password, the same thing. And apparently these people just don't care.
Evidently not.
And that's fine for them, but it is what it is.
Yep.
Right? All right, to the phones. Our first caller is Robert from Rochester, New York. Go ahead, Robert. What's up?
Hi, Nick. I just put a Samsung SSD in for my system drive on my production computer. So now I've got the SSD is the C drive, and I got my data on a physical hard disk. And the SSD came with something called Samsung Magician, which offers what they're calling optimization. The OS optimization is what I'm calling about. And you can. There are 8 settings that it's offering to change, and I'll just read a few of them. Tell me to stop when you're ready. Yeah. Virtual memory, indexing service, prefetch, write cache buffer flushing, power options, and system restore.
Yeah.
Now, having an SSD in the machine and also a physical hard disk, I'm kind of thinking that if I optimize these settings for the SSD, I'll be unoptimizing it for the hard disk.
Yeah, but also vice versa.
Yeah. So what do you recommend doing? You know, nothing perhaps might be the best thing?
If I can jump in for 1 second.
Yeah.
As far as the hard drive, the maintenance there, NTFS is a pretty well-organized system for handling files and the structures and everything else. It doesn't scatter them like the old FAT32 tables did. And when we had FAT32, NTFS, once that came out and we switched over to that, you know, running a check disk out of hard drive and all that, those utilities weren't really needed anymore because, you know, it does a pretty good job. The one thing that we do tell folks to keep things organized, and when you install and uninstall programs, is to use Revo Uninstaller. Mm-hmm. Revo Uninstaller will actually keep the registry clean and things a little more organized on your hard drive.
Yeah, I'm doing that as you have recommended.
There you go.
So the choices they're offering me on this software that came with the SSD are maximum performance, maximum capacity, maximum reliability, and each one of those has a different mix, a different combination
right.
of settings for the things I mentioned. What to do?
Well, I guess it depends on which of those three things is most important to you. Maximum performance means it's going to play a little fast and loose with some of the other features, which means it's not going to be quite as 100% reliable, maybe only 99.9% reliable. Capacity has to do with reliability. In terms of SSDs, one of the ways that you can make them more reliable is redundancy. Of course, redundancy reduces the amount of data you can actually put on the drive because there are multiple copies of some things.
Mm-hmm.
So you get to choose one way or the other. Now, most people buy their SSD cards because they want them as fast as possible. So if you opt for performance, remember two things. Well, no, because you've got a second drive. You've got a different drive for your data.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So you really, if you lose that SSD, if it becomes corrupted, then you'd have to reinstall the operating system, maybe lose some sectors on the SSD, just like you would on a regular hard drive.
All right. Well, it sounds like reliability is what I want. Let me mention, just for informational purposes also, that my boot time with the hard disk was like 4 minutes.
Yep.
With the SSD, 50 seconds.
Yep.
I mean, it's really worthwhile. I paid $99 for this from Newegg for 250 gig.
Yep.
5-year warranty.
And that's the important thing. Keep that warranty handy.
Yeah.
Because SSD cards have essentially exactly the same lifespan as hard drives. They have a 5-year average lifespan.
And sometimes a little bit less because of folks when they, you know, plug them and unplug them.
Right. Now, this is in his machine, so it's going to...
Okay.
It's a C
talking
drive.
About the folks that get them for externals.
The
only reason I say this, and jump in there like this, I had a customer with a brand new external.
Right.
And he wound up popping the circuit board on that external hard drive. The drive was okay, but this thing is only a month and a half old. Again, popping it and unpopping it, you know, so quickly can short it out.
Yep. In this case, it's an internal, so that's not an issue. But again, as with every drive, its average lifespan is 5 years. So if you're lucky, you get 5 or more. If you're unlucky, you get less than 5. So keep that warranty handy. Okay? Robert?
Go on. Dropped it.
It dropped him. The board seems to have a mind of its own today, so.
Well, he's still listening, so.
He's still listening, and that's the important thing. We have no internet, but that's the way that goes. The SSD cards are pretty nifty. I've got one, obviously, in my Chromebook, which is why it boots up in under 8 seconds. And I've had one in a laptop that booted up ridiculously fast. And we're seeing them used an awful lot in virtual hard drives, virtual systems, you know, where you have a back room with a couple of big machines that present themselves as 40 or 50 servers. And a lot of those have the operating system very much the way Robert has. The operating system is on an SSD so that it comes up fast. And the the data are stored on hard drives. So we're going to take a quick break back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 19 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites. If you're on the line, stay on the line. We'll get right to you. It's Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we have Linda from Greece, New York on the line. Hi, Linda. What's up?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. I can hardly hear you.
Are you on a speakerphone?
Oh.
Thank you.
There you go. Hello? She hung up. All right, you'll have to call back, Linda. We lost you somewhere along the line there. Don't...
Speaker, folks, please. I can understand putting this on speakerphone while you're waiting for you to go online. But as that one little ad that I run every so often, speakerphones do not make for good radio because your voice just echoes throughout the house. And that comes over the microphones here.
It's a horribly tinny, difficult to understand sound.
Sounds like you're in a tunnel.
Yeah. So if you're going to put us on speakerphone, we got that because you're on hold for a while. But after we come back and say, here you go, you're next, then maybe it's time to take the phone off speaker and make it be where it needs to be. We need you to be a little more careful of that and a little more aware. As it goes on, we see this. We've seen this for the 25-plus years we've been on the air, so that happens. All right, let's go all the way to Pottstown, PA, for our friend Carl. Hiya, Carl. What's up?
Hey, how you doing today?
Good. You?
Pretty good. I have a couple of quick questions, so I'll try to make it fast. I run Windows 7 Professional on my computer. When I click on the Start button in the lower right-hand corner, I get a little search box that appears right above the start button.
Yep.
However, if I go to my computer and look at the extreme upper right-hand corner of my computer screen, I get another search box, and I'm just wondering if those two search boxes have identical functions or if they do slightly different things.
There's search boxes all over the place, and they all do exactly the same thing.
Okay. So it doesn't matter which one I use for what purpose.
Yep.
All right, the other question is quick. I'm wondering about Wi-Fi radios. I understand certain Wi-Fi radios will stream more radio stations than others, probably because some are more compatible with the various codecs that are used, whether it's MP3 or ACC or whatever.
Right.
And just wondering, since different radios have different capabilities, could you recommend a Wi-Fi radio that will allow me to stream the most possible radio stations?
That's a lovely question, and at the moment, I do not have an answer for you. I do not have a Wi-Fi radio because I've got computers all over the house, and so I don't worry about – I'm not needed a Wi-Fi radio, but that is something that I can look into. And not if I don't write myself a note, I won't.
CRS?
That's something CRS? I've always wondered. I've always wanted to get one, but I always hesitated because I don't know if I'm getting the one that will give me the best performance for over the most stations.
Almost all of them nowadays do MP3 streaming. So it is a rare station. Well, MP3 or real audio. So as long as your radio does those two, you should get the vast majority of radio stations. The only other thing that might be a possibility, a problem rather, is if there many of the less expensive stations, you can't pick a station. It gives you a list of stations that it knows. Right, so they've made a deal with iHeartRadio or one of those other companies, and only their stations come through. So you have to pay a little attention to that. But beyond that, really, as long as they do MP3s and real audio, they should get the vast majority. And if you add AAC or one of those, then you should have about 99.999%.
Okay, that's great. Thanks a lot.
There you go. Thank you. Yeah, Wi-Fi radios are pretty cool. You can pick us up, of course, on one. Lots of people are getting them to have in their house. I've got a bunch of old computers over the years that have... I keep them alive mostly on Linux that didn't have an issue before, that had an issue before, and Linux cleaned that up. So, you know, if I want to grab an old laptop or whatever and stick it in a room and let's start listening to music, I can. But I have not really looked into Wi-Fi radios as such. Certainly Wi-Fi radios in general cheaper than another laptop, so that would be a deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, Chromebook, $150 for a Chromebook. I don't know what the radios are going for these days. Anyway, back to the phones. Our next caller is Linda from Greece, New York, who will not hang up on us this time. Linda, are you there?
Okay. Nick, have you noticed that Google Play service is very unreliable now?
How do you mean unreliable?
Okay. I've got a tablet, an Android tablet, and it says update this. And one of the things I had to update was Google Play services in order to use the Google Now.
Right.
I did Google Play service. After 5 hours, it still said installing.
Well, that's an issue with either the connection to Google or your tablet. That's the Google Play services themselves actually are pretty reliable. I buy books all the time from all the time.
Yeah,
from them.
Yeah,
so.
But now I can update on my phone, but I can't update on my tablet. And the tablet's brand new.
All right. What I might suggest you try is resetting the tablet.
Huh?
Reset the tablet to factory settings, and that's in.
I did that. It didn't help.
Well, and then did it go to update Google Play again?
Yeah, and I still had the same problem. And I was reading an article, and a few people are having problems, there was a map. And it says Google having problems, and there are a few places in New York State that were having problems.
Interesting, because I've not had that problem. But then I didn't buy a new tablet recently, so I haven't necessarily had to update Google Play.
Because I wanted to put Google, and then I wanted to get Google Now, and it says you have to update Google Play services.
Sure.
Well, for some reason, that is not doing it. I mean,
when did this start?
Yesterday.
Yeah, give it another day or two, and then try again. Often, what they find is that they get a problem reported to them. They work on it. They find the solution. Then they fix it. And of course, it's a weekend, so give it a few weekdays.
Okay.
And let's see what happens, because it may be that or something else is the issue. So you may get an update for something else that fixes the Google Play problem.
Yeah. And it can't be my router, because I've got a brand new AO router, and I still haven't figured out how to use my iPad. I had somebody come in. He can't find that Bonjour or whatever you want to call it. He couldn't find that in there, so my iPad, I can no longer print from it.
Huh. Wow.
And we can't figure that out.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you're right. Somebody has to sit and see it, but if even that guy couldn't figure it out,
No. So that's why I'm using my Android tablet.
Right.
But in order to use Google Now to set up appointments and all that, I have to download Google Play service, and I can't.
Yeah, give it a couple of days, and let's see what happens. You can certainly still set up appointments and things like that through the calendar itself.
Uh-huh.
Right, so you don't have to use Google Now to do that, although Google Now makes it very convenient, because you can say something like, set an appointment for Tuesday afternoon to go to the eye doctor.
Yeah, and no matter what Google app I want, like my Google Photos, it says please set up Google Play service. Well, I can't set up any of the Google apps because Google Play service hasn't updated itself.
Right. So, like I said, give it a couple of days and then try it again.
Okay.
Yeah, I beg your pardon.
Then what do I do if it doesn't work?
Well, then it's in the meantime, I'll do a little bit of research and see if I can find something that's going on other than that.
Okay.
What's the make of your tablet?
It's an LG G Pad.
Oh yeah, okay.
And I do have. I haven't set it up yet, but it does have Verizon 4G. But I haven't set that up yet because I don't have the money.
Right. No, I get that. I get that. Believe me, I get that.
Yeah, it's the 8-inch LG G Pad.
Right. All right, I'll look into that for you.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys.
Yep. Bye-bye. Yeah, every once in a while. And the problem is there are so many variables. There's Google itself. There's the company that makes the tablet and how they've set up Android inside it. And then there's the carrier. Now, in this case, Linda's not really worried about the carrier since she's on wireless. But for phones, it's also the carrier. So we often see that one company will update something very quickly, and then Verizon will take forever. I mean, some other company will take forever. So another problem that we're seeing. The Apple people, of course, don't have that. Apple's the only people that make the hardware. They still have the carrier issue, but they've made different deals with the carriers.
Mm-hmm.
All right, back to the phones. Our friend Bodan from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Bodan. What's up?
Gentlemen, good afternoon.
How'd you make out last night?
Last week I called and I informed you that my employer was putting away some old computers, and I was able to access one and bring it home. And then
nice.
The issue last week was is that I didn't, when I turned on the computer, it says press Control Alt Delete to begin, and as administrator, I did not have the password. Well, I was nice enough by the IT manager to get the password, and I'm sitting in front of the machine now as it's booting up. I think it's a better computer, even though it's both running XP. This one is got a Pentium D processor with a speed of 3.40 gigahertz, and it's got 3.25 gigs of RAM. My machine only has 2 gigs of RAM, and
nice.
My processing speed is 2.53. Now, I have two questions for you, gentlemen, that I would like to get assistance on.
Sure.
What do I do? Because right now, this computer is set up to be connected to a network. I don't no longer want it to be connected to a network. I want to hook it up to my internet modem and connect to the internet.
Right. You're going to have to go into the control panel.
Okay. I'm opening that up right now.
I believe it's where is it that you assigned it? You know how you can set it up for the server or work within a work group.
Right. What in network set connections?
Network connections.
Okay.
You will see down the left hand side a series of choices.
Yeah.
And one of them should have something to do with a business network.
Well, it says it's a 1394 connection, firewall, local area connection, disabled firewall, and then local area connection 2.
The local area connections, all you have to do is... Okay, it's two things. First, the administrator is set up to connect to a network. So the administrator requires... It is designed, when that machine was set up, the machine itself was put on a network.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Right.
Right, and so it's looking on that network for authentication of the people who are part of that network. Not
right.
the
You're connecting
the
to
host,
a server.
Not the,
a
right,
host
not
server.
The administrator. So what you really want to do, again, I apologize, my throat is... I'm not as well as I'd like
little
to be.
Parsh.
Yeah, and I'm lost. Yeah, yeah. So the machine comes up on a network. So the first thing you have to do is take that machine off the network. So and put it instead on a work group.
And how do I do that?
Well, again, I don't have a Windows machine in front of me, but basically, what you do is you go into the control panel and into networks.
Uh-huh.
And
there's one option here that says New Network Wizard. No, I'm sorry, New Connection Wizard?
Well, you don't... Well, now, have you connected to your local... No, you got to take it off the network first.
Okay.
And again,
Well, right now, on the top it says LAN or high-speed internet. There are three options there. Local area connection 2, local area connection, and 1394 connection, which I have no idea. So it's
all right,
1394 net adapter. One of them has an X on it. One of them has an X... The local area connection too has an X.
Yeah, that means there's
icon.
Nothing connected to that system.
Bodan,
yeah.
What you want to do is in the control panel under systems.
Uh huh.
Under the systems, if you click on that, I don't know what machine this is, whether it's XP or 7, but it opens up a window.
Yeah.
And there you can see it says the name of the computer, the system, and then the computer name, and you can change the settings in the computer name. Hold on a minute here. I'm kind of working my way through here, working with three mice.
He's only got three mice, so.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah, it's under system properties.
System properties, okay.
Yeah, and it's under there that you can click and to rename this computer.
Computer name, yep.
Or change the domain or work group.
That's what you
and that's
do.
Where you want to
take
change
it out of the domain.
You want to take it out of the domain. You want to make it part of a work group.
Well, right now the work group does say work group, and
yeah,
the
but
computer it's, description does, it's blank.
But it, yeah, but is there a, is the button clicked there
oh,
for
it says, full, it says full computer name. It says PC audio.
Yeah, but down where you can change the name.
Yep, I see that. Yep,
you click on that button.
Uh-huh.
And under that,
if I can put my first name, let's say for example, and remove what's there now and put, let's say,
no. Under, well, normally under once you click on that button, it says change the name slash domain changes.
Yep, I see that.
You got to click. You don't want the member of a domain there. You want to go down and say work group. Click that and just put in say work group.
It does say that's what I currently have there. Actually, the button, the bullet is highlighted for work group, and it says work group.
So when does it come up and want to be on the domain?
Here's the thing. I have not tried hooking up to the internet right now. I am just planning that. I just know that this was part of a network, so I'm trying to make the changes before hooking up to the modem.
Right. From what we see, well, it doesn't hurt to try to hook up because it won't connect. But what you need to try is just connect to the network because it sounds like the administrator who gave you that machine did all the work for you already.
Oh, okay. Well, he just gave me the password. He was nice enough to give me the old password for the
XP machine.
Listen,
stay on the line. I know. Stay on the line. We got to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave, Nick, Bodan, you, Soundbites, member-supported Jazz 90.1, 39 minutes after the hour.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, we've got Bodan on the line. Bodan, you still there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay, so here's the thing. It sounds like that your administrator has already taken you off the domain. So you should be able to connect to the network without any trouble.
Yep.
To the internet now.
To the regular internet.
Yep.
Right.
Right.
So the only thing that you're going to have to worry about is... if you try to log on.
Wait a minute. No, he still might have to when he's. All right. So, since he's off the domain now and he boots us up and he goes into the work group, if he's got a router of that and it's got a password on it, it might say, ask him for the password
if he's doing it
wirelessly.
Right.
No, I just have a basic router to Roadrunner and I don't believe there's any password on it.
All right.
Right. Okay, so, particularly
I thought it was
wired.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you may find that if there are still accounts on that machine, which there really, really shouldn't be.
I don't think so, because I sense this machine was used internally for, how can I describe it, in audio-visual production. The only two programs that were downloaded that I can see on the desktop is something called Echo Fire Wire Console, and there's something called Orban Loudness Meter.
Okay, then you don't have to worry about a thing. I don't think you're going to have any issues at all.
And I want the download to see if I can see any files or anything like that.
Yeah.
I don't see anything. In fact, I even went to the history of Internet Explorer and Firefox, and it shows very little. So I think this machine was not really used to connect to the Internet. It was used internally.
Yeah, I think you're right. So what you, of course, want to do at this point is buy a copy of 8.1 to put on it so the 10 will be free.
Got it. Now, the other question is this. Every time I turn on this machine, it comes up, hit Control-Alt-Delete, and I have to log in. It says administrator, and I have to put in the password, which I do have. How can I change that? Where if I just boot up the machine, it doesn't ask me to hit Control-Alt-Delete, administrator,
If there's a batch file. You might have to look out at the root directory to see if they put a batch file that automatically...
Or the startup directory.
Yeah, in the startup directory that runs this batch file.
So what should I run? Hit run, msconfig, or what?
Well, you should have a startup folder.
Yeah.
In your list of folders under in the start button.
Click here to begin. Yeah, okay.
And you'll see, if you look at all the programs, you'll see like Word or, the Word, Microsoft. Is there a startup folder there?
Software setup, startup. Yeah, there is something called startup.
Okay, so look in that folder and see if there are any files.
Nope, empty.
Okay, then you don't have to worry about that. But here's the thing. That's going to be the way they've set up XP. If you're going to put 8 on this machine anyway,
just do a clean install.
Then just do a clean install, and you don't care what was on there before. And when you do a clean install, it wouldn't be on a network anyway, so you're essentially good to go. I mean, if you've got 3 gigs of RAM...
Yeah, it says 3.24 gigabytes of RAM. The processor is a Pentium D with 3.40 gigahertz of speed. My computer is 2.53 with 2 gigs of RAM. So this definitely has got a little more power and a little more speed than my current one.
Right. So check that out. Go to Microsoft has a tool you can download, which I can't lead you to right now, like I said, because I have no internet.
What kind of ballpark price am I looking at to get 8.1? Roughly.
Dave?
Just you can go get 10. Just download 10 then.
But I don't think 10 will replace XP.
No, it won't.
Oh, that's right.
So I have to get 8 first. Am I looking at 100, 200?
You're looking closer to 200 than 100.
It's not even worth it, maybe.
What's
then?
That one website that's old soft? Why not? Do you got XP? Why not reload XP on it? If you got the CD for it.
Well, this is actually, my personal one is XP Home. This is XP Professional.
So you're wiping the drive out. It doesn't make a difference.
Okay.
Of course, you realize that Microsoft Windows XP is completely unsecured and unsupported. Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. As long as you're willing to take the chance.
Right.
Or, since it is an XP machine, go to a version of Ubuntu.
Sure, put Linux on it.
Linux.
And just change the operating system.
Yeah, try Linux.
That would have been my next suggestion, but
right now, it's not a bad idea to maybe, since you got this extra machine, to play around with Linux.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, Windows 10, as we've been saying, you know, it's great, but what's going to come as far as the licensing agreements and all this other stuff?
Right.
Nobody gives away an operating system for free that long.
Correct.
Except the Linux people.
Except Linux, right. But Microsoft isn't, because they're not going to stay the million-dollar company that they are.
Right.
So this would be a perfect opportunity.
Yeah, the price is right, and I can play around with it a little bit.
There you go.
If you don't like it, you really aren't that far behind, because you're going to have to buy an operating system anyway, no matter what you do.
Right. But I still think, you know, having this 3.40 gigahertz processor with a 3.25 gigabytes of RAM for an XP machine, that's not bad.
No,
it's not bad at all. But I would not be reluctant personally to try Linux first.
Right.
All right.
And the thing is, take a look. There's Ubuntu. There's Mint, and Ubuntu has three or four different versions. There's regular Ubuntu with the Unity front end, Lubuntu, Xubuntu. There's Mint, which has Mate and Cinnamon as the two front ends. So do a little research, see what they look like. The other cool thing is you can always try one. If you don't like it, wipe it out and try another one.
True.
Yeah.
You know, as long as you're playing, play.
Now, if I went to a Linux website, I can buy their OS from them and download it and burn it.
No.
Put it on.
No. No, it's free. You don't buy anything.
You don't buy anything? Really? Yeah. That's why we're saying.
Ubuntu is free.
That even makes it better.
That's what we're saying.
Yeah, they're free. Linux is a free operating system. You can buy support. And if you're an organization, you can buy the enterprise version, which comes with tools that aren't free and even more support and blah, 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 blah. But I haven't paid for an operating system in 10 years.
Well, you know what? I'm on vacation next week. I have the whole week off.
Talking.
I'm doing work around the house in the daytime, and then I'm going downtown to support the Rochester's economy and supporting the jazz festival. So I have some free time tomorrow.
There you go. Take a look at the various versions of Linux. Down one that you like. I personally am a fan of Xubuntu, but everybody's got their preferences.
Can I get something light? I think there's something that you mentioned earlier. There's a lighter version.
Xubuntu has a lighter front end. That's why I like it.
Xubuntu. E-X?
No, just an X. X-U-B-U-N-T-U.
Okay.
Ubuntu comes with a front end called Unity. Many people don't like Unity. Lubuntu comes with the LFCE front end. I don't remember what the L.
Sure, easy for you.
It's easy for me to say.
Which one should I pick? Do I have to decide?
No, you can pick whichever one looks good to you, and then if you don't like it, replace it with a different one.
Got it. Okay.
And I use Xubuntu because it comes with the XFCE front end that I personally like a lot.
Okay.
But it doesn't, you know, it's all a matter of personal preference. And in fact, you can load a half a dozen front ends. You can load GNOME and KDE and XFCE and LXFE and whatever front ends you want. And then when you first boot up, you can set it so that it automatically logs you in, or you're going to have to enter your username and password. And at that username and password prompt, you can pick which front end you like.
Got it.
So the flexibility of Linux
is unbelievable.
Is unbelievable.
Gentlemen, thank you for your advice. Always appreciate it. Now, listen, has anybody awoken Uncle Dave in a while? We haven't had a rant from him in a while.
Hey, life's good.
Life is good for Dave right now.
Matter of fact, no, you know, one thing, yeah, I will kind of go on a rant right now, and you have to spur it on there, Bodan, is one thing, and you bring up a very, very valid point. I happened to be down to Jazz Fest last night. It was a great turnout. And one thing all of our listeners know, and we do it every pledge time, is tell you folks, during the Jazz Fest, if you would just take the opportunity to stop by the booth, we're right there on Gibbs Street, and we have this little...
Jazz Street this week.
Jazz Street. And we have this cubicle. It's clear. And we love for you to put any, you know, green money in it. Any denomination is great. Anything from $1 up to a $1,000 bill, we don't care. But fill it up, because you know what? The more we get in there, that helps us come the fundraiser. And like we've always said, that if everybody came to the Jazz Fest and put $1 in, we wouldn't have to have a fundraiser until next Jazz Fest.
Wow, maybe even Rob Litton would sing or something or dance for us.
There we go.
We'd pay him not to.
Ah, got it.
You can't afford him.
Right.
Gentlemen, thank you for your advice.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bodan.
And by all means, folks, you know, if you get a chance, the Jazz Fest just kicked off last night. It's unbelievable. The entertainment going on is phenomenal. They've really done a great job of bringing in a lot of good acts. A lot of good acts are coming up. If you want the schedule, you can go to our website. We have a link for the whole listing. You can download the Jazz app, which has all the things that are going on at the Jazz also. You can also listen to the archives of our shows here. But the key thing is, we'd like you to come on down. Say hello. A lot of the DJs are going to be there the whole week. Like I say, it started last night, and it goes right on through until next Saturday. And it's just jam-packed with a lot of great music. And some folks say, well, you know, and I've had some of my friends say, well, you know, I'm really not into jazz. Well, you know what? You're losing. Because there are some great acts that aren't jazz. The Soul Rebels are going to be on tomorrow. They're an R&B group. Primetime Brass was played. The Soul Rebels, which you folks, if you listen to me on Thursday nights, know them. I've played the music. Again, they're going to be playing both Sunday and then Monday out in the Big Ten. So there's two chances to catch them there. They're doing a total of four shows. There's just Trombone Shorty, just on and on and on. Diana Krall, I got to listen to her last night for a little bit.
The Steep Canyon Rangers will be here.
Yeah, and what is it? Blood, Sweat, and Tears?
Mm-hmm.
Blood, Sweat, and Tears. Free concert tonight out on the street on Chestnut Street. Free. There's a lot of free stuff that you can come down and you don't have to, you know, to worry about, I got to pay for this one, I got to pay for that one. There's great food, reasonable prices. So you know what? Do yourself a favor. Come on down sometime this week. I'll be down there all week. Please stop by. Say hello. We will be doing a live broadcast. And like I say, a lot of the DJs will be out there also. So please stop on down and donate.
Yeah, the Wheels of Soul will be here. It's going to be great.
Like I say, that group last night, the new Master Sounds, they're, I think they're out of... British. I think they were all British because they had quite the accent. But they had the house rocking. And that first show, what was that, 5:30, was packed. It was just literally jammed. And they had the house rocking. It was just a great time. Good music. I mean, if you like music, this is the place to go and be.
Now, check it out online because a lot of the tickets are sold out.
Yeah.
Because this is probably the most popular thing Rochester does all
year. We are now one of the top 10 jazz places to come to for good jazz music.
Yep.
They were announcing it last night. And no, they now have this big board at the end of the street, Jazz Street, where the Xerox building is, their big tent. And it gets statistics and tweeting and all this other stuff on jazz.
Nice.
So, yeah, and what's going on and everything else, it is really a cool add to it. I was talking to somebody else, I says, you know, they should also add a live camera. And, you know, Yep. Have it pointing down the end of the Gibbs Street there, and then also periodically spot down and see folks live so they could tweet their friends in that. But they're asking folks to tweet if they're at other locations and send their pictures and all that other stuff. And they really are going a little more high tech. Well, I mean, this is the 14th year.
Yep. And it, as you said, it's a world renowned phenomenon. This jazz
tenth
fest. And like you said, we call it the Jazz Fest, but there's a whole lot of music there.
Yeah, it's just a name that it started with for a weekend thing.
Right. No matter what music you like, I guarantee you'll find something that you'll enjoy. It's an amazing event.
A lot of fun.
Dave is absolutely right. If you come down, please drop a buck or five in the bucket.
Whatever. You know, it will all help. And wouldn't that be unbelievable? And here's the thing, folks. If you see Rob or anything, any of the other folks, Rob or Derek, just tell them, hey, Soundbites told me to stop by and drop a buck in there that you might not have to do if we get enough to do the pledge drive.
That's right.
Yeah, that'd be so sweet if we could just keep filling that up. Like I say, $1 from each person. And I had a number of folks come up and say, all right, I heard you. Here's my money. Right. Now, if we can get 99,999 more folks to do it. So then, boom, another guy comes by, drops a 20 in.
That's what we like to see.
So, the folks were doing it. They were great. It's just a great time up there, too, because the whole mood. I mean, I've been going up there now, 6 years?
Yeah.
6 years. And whether you're young or you're old, it's just a good time. Everybody's up there. They don't get stupid. You don't see fights or anything else. Everybody is just up there to have a great time, and they do. And this is the great history of the Jazz Fest. One other thing, though, is on Jazz Street, they moved the food that used to clog that street.
Yeah.
They moved it out onto Main Street, which is cool because now out on Main Street, which they have blocked off, they got tables, and they got plenty of tables and chairs out there for the different venues that are there. You can sit comfortably right in the middle of Main Street and eat. And that doesn't happen that often.
And whatever else you may think of it, the vibe is so, so nice. You talked about how nobody gets stupid and all of that stuff. Well, the reality is that the vibe there is so peaceful and so calm and yet so upbeat and so joyous, even no matter what else you do, you just go there and groove to the beat. Listen, we're going to take a slightly longer break, back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray. No, Steve Ray. Nick Francesco and you. Give us a call. We'll talk. It's Soundbites, member-supported, Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
This is 90.1 WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District and official media partner of this year's Xerox Rochester International Jazz Festival. Jazz 90.1.
Streaming online at jazz901.org.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Yes, Steve Ray is somewhere in the Midwest, one step ahead of the law. But we have Steve from Greece on the line. Welcome, Steve. What's up?
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen. I am a Steve, so you've got a Steve on the show now.
Yeah,
so.
At the very least, we got a Steve.
Yeah.
last week I called you. I was running... learning to run Linux Mint Cinnamon, an excellent choice if you're going to use Linux. And I was trying to hook up my active desktop to my TV through HDMI cable.
Right.
And I couldn't mirror the image, and you got me on the right track on that. Everything was working donkey-hoy. but the sound was still coming from the laptop.
Uh-huh.
Clever guy that I am, I went to the sound setting.
There you go.
There was an HDML choice. And I selected that, and the sound was coming through the TV now.
There you go.
But, of course, something went wrong or I wouldn't be talking to you.
Of course it did.
Every single video I play plays at double speed when the sound is coming through the laptop, from the laptop through the HDML to the... It's when I... If I go off of the sound coming through, in other words, put it back to the laptop, videos slow right down to the speed they're supposed to play at. As soon as I select HDML for the output, everything plays at double speed.
Huh. So, and that's the only difference. If the sound is going through the HDMI, so it's coming out the television, the video plays at double speed. And if you change the sound to go back to the laptop, it all works.
Yep. And believe me, I spent well over an hour, maybe an hour and a half, just searching around trying to figure out what's going on.
Something with the driver.
Well, I'm thinking it's got to be a driver timing issue.
Yeah.
And how are you getting it to the through the HDMI?
What do you mean, how?
You're going through...
It plugs into the laptop, and it plugs into...
I'm sorry, I meant programmatically. You're going into what program on the computer to change the sound?
I can go to YouTube. People who have sent me videos of the kids and things like that through mail. There's other sites up there. I've looked up, like, there's a launch sequence from NASA that I really like, and it's much quicker now. I don't know why they don't use that as a thing. The liftoff is much faster.
Sure, at double speed it would be, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, and so how do you change the sound?
It's, I go to, the sound setting in Linux, and it gives two options.
Mm-hmm.
When the HDMI cable is plugged in, and one is a laptop, and the other is, it says HDMI.
HDMI.
HDMI, yes.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, I don't know why I keep saying it. I know it's that.
It's HTML and HDMI. So,
right. Yeah,
I can see the confusion. Okay, so it's just in that one setting, and that's the only thing you're changing.
Correct.
Wow. What it sounds like is that the driver for your sound card is not correct.
All right.
The HDMI driver. Now, how do you change that? You're running Linux Cinnamon, yeah?
Yeah.
Off the top of my head, I cannot answer that question. I have no internet. I'm hogtied here. I don't run Cinnamon, so I don't have that in my
head.
Hard
to do the show without the internet.
Well, if for stuff I don't do, you know, I don't do Cinnamon, so I can't do that in my head.
Well, it's going to be a lot. I mean, it's based off the Ubuntu kernel, so it's going to be similar, I would think.
Yeah, you would certainly think so. Except that I do much the same thing you do, and I don't have that issue. So, something's not the same. And it could just be the difference in the laptop and like that. Because in one instance, you're going through your sound card right to your computer, and the other to the hardware in your computer. In the other, you're going through your sound card and then to a different set of hardware. So something is decoupling somewhere in there. A timing thing is decoupling somewhere in there. I don't know. Off the top of my head, I don't know, but I will look into this.
Okay.
That's two I have to look into now.
And when you have found the answer, and I know you will.
Yeah.
Where will I find the answer?
On the Soundbites website.
Gotcha.
I will make it a posting on the Soundbites website. So I've got two to look at now, and I will do so. And if I and when I find an answer, I'll put that up there.
A friend of mine, this was an aside, sent me a link to a Spitfire video. This guy who flew Spitfires.
Nice.
19 minutes. Well, normally a 19-minute video, it loses a lot of the effect when it's playing double speed.
Yeah. Good way to get through movies, though.
Yeah, probably that Spitfire is much faster than I thought it was.
Yeah. you wonder about the reflexes of the people who could fly those.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've been watching American Genius, but they just did Wright Brothers and Curtis, and that was, completely an aside. But it was a great show.
Yeah, it's an excellent series, actually.
Yep.
The whole series is good. All right, thanks, Steve.
Thank you very much, Nick.
Yep. Yeah, it's that's a kind of a stumper. That's something I'd have to play with. It might also have to do. Oh, Steve, I know you're still listening. So either call back or send me an email that tells me what actual hardware you're on, what your laptop is. That might help.
Yeah. One other thing we should mention.
Like that, yeah.
Tomorrow, wish all the fathers out there Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day. It's not too late to do something nice for your parental unit. That's very nice. Tomorrow's also the longest day of the year,
mm-hmm.
which means it's starting Monday, the days are getting shorter.
Yep. What is it? I think 1 or 2 minutes we lose each day.
Yep, yep, yep. So do something nice for your dad if he's around, and if he's not, take a few minutes and think about him. Mm-hmm. All right, here's a news item that just will engender a whole lot of nonsense like the last one did. Welcome to the question that will not die. Windows 10 is only free for 1 year, so what happens after that? For those who know the answer, they get irritated every time it's asked. That's understandable
yeah.
because it comes up a lot. But for those who don't know, it isn't their fault. The blame lies squarely on Microsoft for some dreadful wording and a lack of transparency, which it still hasn't sorted out. It isn't hard to see where the problem lies if you take a look at the free pricing on the official Windows 10 homepage, as well as the small print, which accompanies it. Nothing's clear about what happens
as
after
mud.
1 year. Is it a limited trial? Is it a compulsory subscription? Is it something worse? The most maddening part is the reality is actually great news. Upgrade to Windows 10 within the first year, and it is free forever, as near as we can figure out. Seriously, Microsoft, that's not that hard to spell out. Perhaps the best effort we have had is from an official company spokes robot. So far is a blog post by Terry Myerson, Microsoft Executive Vice President for Operating Systems. In it, he states, "We announced that a free upgrade for Windows 10 will be made available to customers running Windows 7, Windows 8.1, and Windows Phone 8.1 who upgrade in the first year after launch. This is more than a one-time upgrade. Pay attention to this part. Once a Windows device is upgraded to Windows 10, we will continue to keep it current for the supported lifetime of the device at no cost." And yet, despite all this, the myth that Windows 10 will eventually add a subscription cost for free upgraders perpetuates. Why? Partially because people are rightly cynical about something that looks too good to be true, but also, again, due to Microsoft message bungling. But here's the thing. What they're saying is that if you get Windows 10 within the first year it's offered, it will be free for the lifetime, the supported lifetime of the device, which leads us right back to the standard Windows life cycle. Are you paying attention? What that means is Windows 10 will have a supported life cycle just like every other version of Windows. And when that support is done, then that support is done. You can continue to use Windows 10 for free, as far as we know, but they won't upgrade it and they won't make it secure. They won't do anything to it. Meanwhile, Microsoft is all... What?
Back at the ranch.
Right. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, Microsoft has already announced the next version of Windows, which will simply be called Windows, no more numbering. And what everyone is speculating is that that will indeed be a subscription model. So if you have 10, you'll be able to keep it until your computer falls apart from decay and rot. But if you upgrade, you'll start paying again. I can't make it any clearer than that. Windows 10 is free. Windows 10 will always be free. If you want Windows after that...
Wait, Steve texted us and said, wait for Windows 11.
Right.
But they're doing away with the numbers.
They're doing away with numbers. The next version will only be called Windows. And why? Because it's going to be a subscription model that will upgrade over the internet, just like Linux does now. So they don't need numbers because it's just going to be whatever the latest window is. They will handle the upgrades. You won't ever have to do an upgrade again.
Yeah.
That's the way Linux works. I put a version of Linux on my machine 3 years ago. When did I buy that?
Yeah, but what happens if they do something stupid like they did before, like with Windows 8 right now? And you go from, say, a Windows 7 to a Windows 8, which is a piece of junk, which has been, and Microsoft, you know, doesn't learn because they had, Windows, the one that I love. And then they come out with a stupid move like Vista.
Yeah.
Some brainchild got in there loose and totally trashed that one.
Yeah, too bad.
And then they come out with Windows 8.
Too bad. It's a subscription model. And you get what they give you.
A Chromebook is looking more and more suitable for me. Seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, what can I do on that Chromebook that I do on my regular computer?
99.9% of what everybody does. You have to work a little differently. So if I want to save pictures, I save them
on Google
Drive.
You want to work differently? No, you try Windows 8. That's working differently.
Exactly. But for most people, 90% of their life is in the browser anyway. And the other 10% is stuff they could do on the browser. So for most people there's no need to have more than a Chromebook.
Right.
Some people I've heard, well, I can't do any programming on a Chromebook. Well, yes you can. I do it all the time.
You do the cloud.
Right.
Do the cloud.
And B, you're not most people. You know, everybody this is the thing that makes me insane. Is the people who come to you with an edge case and try to pretend that's the way things are all the time. All right, listen, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 19 minutes after the hour. We'll also have Chuck from Penfield on the line, so Chuck, stay on the line. Back in just a couple of minutes with Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And at 23 minutes after the hour, you can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll-free 1-800-790-0415, just like Chuck did from Penfield, New York. What's up, Chuck?
Hey, guys. Someone may have asked this before, but I'll ask it again. Are you familiar with a program called Software Monitor?
No. Why?
Isn't that the one that will sit there and check out if you...
Yeah.
Newer versions of the software?
Yeah. It's annoying.
Yeah.
You know, we have the latest upgrade coming by our new stuff.
Yeah.
Apparently, in my case, it got installed through a Nuance product. But I guess it can get installed by a number of others.
Uh-huh.
How do you get rid of it? It does not show up in programs under remove install programs. It does not show up with the Revo uninstaller.
Did you dance the security tango?
I haven't gone through that. I don't know if the security tango do an uninstall.
No. But what you can do.
Well, it's a virus and malware remover.
So not a virus per se.
But it's malware.
Yeah, it's malware.
Yeah, it's an annoying pain in the butt that comes up every so often and says, "We have a new version of such and such software," and then here it is, and lo and behold, it's their latest version that they want you to upgrade to, which I don't need.
One thing you can do is if you go down to start. or down to the start button in that little window, type in msconfig.
Yep, in there.
And go into the startup.
Yep.
And look down that list to see if there's some goofy software that's starting up. Now, even though it doesn't pop up all the time, sometimes it can be set to only, say, annoy you every 4 hours or 6 hours, trying to be a little stealth, but still it could turn around and, you know, pop its rear head up and say, oh, yeah, we got this version or that version. So check in there. Because no matter what you uncheck, you can always recheck back in, you know, if you find something. But most of the stuff in that, you really don't need a lot of it.
Yeah, I'm realizing that. I'm seeing some nuanced stuff there, but I'm not. If it has a timer of sorts that causes the program to pop up every so often, does the program itself reside in memory and it just fires off at a certain time, or is it loaded after a certain amount of time?
It's what they call a TSR, terminate and stay resident.
Okay, yep.
So, again, like Nick said, it's malware. So look in there, try to get rid of it there, and then dance the tango.
Do you need any of the nuanced stuff that's in there?
I need the OmniPage. It's an OCR product.
Right.
Okay, so I do some OCR scanning stuff, and then that's, I want it.
Yeah, but they usually, here's the thing. Try unchecking it, because if it's in that startup, because normally when you start up the software, that will start up the drivers for the OCR.
Right.
It's built into the program.
I don't mind when I start up the software, it's saying, hey, you know, we got this new version.
Right.
Would you like to upgrade? That's fine.
So it doesn't need to be in your startup programs.
Right. And I don't need it residing in the background,
exactly,
sucking up whatever it's going to suck up for no reason at all.
You got
right.
it. All
and
right.
This is a way to at least try that.
Yeah.
One of the problems that we're finding is that more and more software is becoming rootkit-like. And so the only way to fix that stuff is to pull the drive, stick it in another machine as your secondary drive, and fix it before it ever gets a chance to boot. Now, that's a little easier with a desktop machine.
Yeah.
But unless you're the sort of person who has access to the right tools, doing that with a laptop is just not at all easy.
You got.
But even with a desktop, it's a lot of jacking around that you should not have to do.
Well, right. And that's why I always tell people when you get to that point, it's time to take it to a reputable dealer.
Yeah. I mean, I'm to the point where I look at the computers and software like a car. In the old days, it used to be everybody wanted to get in and tweak and fool around and whatever.
Yep.
Now it's put gas in the tank, get me where I want to go, and get me back home.
Yep.
And that's it. I'll do my regular maintenance, take care of the brakes and the battery and everything else. But.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and when you have to drop the engine to change a spark plug,
there you go.
You're really at the point where this is not something you want to do in your garage.
Right, and it shouldn't have to be that way. Okay, let me see what I can uncheck here, and hope it goes away. And that
let
seems
us know.
To be, you don't know of another uninstaller that will find stuff that's hidden to uninstall.
No. Well, no, because that's
I'm
a whole
looking at a couple of others, but I'm having no success.
I'd
so
like
far.
To get rid of it.
Yep. Right.
Rather than just kind of have it hanging there and.
Try what we suggested. I think it's a good chance of getting rid of it.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Good luck. We're seeing more and more of that. The real problem is that they're getting more and more sophisticated, and it's harder and harder to get rid of that stuff. Now, maybe it'll be interesting to see when Microsoft's Windows is a subscription model, if how they handle that.
Like anything else,
it's another thing you don't have to worry about with Linux.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's the whole problem. Microsoft has such a bad track record to sit there and put my eggs all in one basket, just like their virus program or their Defender program. And too many other programs, they got the bad track record of bringing something out, saying, oh, yeah, here we go. And then they drop support, or their version of updating is once a month. Hello, if my machine is infected or not working, I can't wait a month.
That's right.
For you to get around to correct it.
That's exactly right. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Phil from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Phil. What's up?
Hi, Nick. I enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I sent you an email last night about Chromebook and the operating system.
Sorry, I didn't look at my email last night. I had family.
Okay. Well, here's the question. I was considering just getting a laptop or a new laptop, and trying to install, you know, making recovery disks or something, and trying to install the Chrome operating system on it. Now, if I did that, is the Chrome operating system free?
Yes.
Okay. If I did this, would I have a better computer than, like, a Chromebook? I mean, or could I have, like, two operating systems at the same time on this laptop and still be able to choose and not have to deal with Microsoft issues?
Well, here's the interesting thing about Chromebooks. Chromebooks themselves are fairly locked down in the sense that you can't dual boot directly in a Chromebook. There are ways around it by changing some various things, but it's no longer just a Chromebook at that point. For a regular laptop, I have not tried dual booting. I have put Chrome OS in a virtual machine inside my laptop, so I can play with it that way. if you put Chrome, if you put the Chrome OS, generally people are using the one from Hexen, but if you put the Chrome OS on a regular laptop, it essentially becomes a Chromebook. It may be a little faster, may have a little more memory, it may have a little more disk storage, but it's essentially a Chromebook. Everything happens really fast on a Chromebook and really simply. So you're not going to gain, like I said, except for the amount of memory and the amount of storage, you're not going to gain all that much. I know people who put much larger SSD cards in their Chromebooks for the same effect, right? They just want more of whatever. But I don't know that you're going to get a whole huge boost in performance because it's already so fast.
Don't they, when they sell you a Chromebook at the store, don't they have a deal that, you know, there's a certain amount of storage somewhere on the internet,
yes,
on the cloud?
Yes. Many of them you get 100 gig right from Google.
Well, so wouldn't I circumvent that by just having a laptop with a hard drive and
Right. You would circumvent that. That's both good and bad. You certainly, like I said, you get more storage. But where's your backup?
Okay.
Well, right?
Yeah.
I mean, what are you going to do? Now, I have thousands upon thousands of documents up in Google Docs. I can back them up very easily by downloading them. Google has a thing called Google Takeout, which lets you download them. I've said this before. It used to be called the Data Liberation Front, which I actually like better. Although Takeout is a pretty clever name. And I can at any time go up there and say, give me all my documents or give me all my mail or give me all my pictures or give me everything if you can do that. I can do that because I have the bandwidth with Greenlight. But, you know, you don't want to wait a week for that stuff to download. But you can do your documents very quickly. So if you're up on Google Chrome, if you're using Chrome OS and you're up on Google Drive, storing it there means Google is backing it up. And I've been storing stuff there for years, and I've never seen a problem, ever seen a problem. And as I've said many times, I know high people in low places at Google, and consequently, I know that they do an amazing amount of redundancy on their data, on our data. But every once in a while, maybe once a week, once a month, I know a lot of people who go to the Google Takeout and download their documents, and then they're saved as a zip file on their own hard drive. And you can either do that through the Chrome OS and put it on a zip drive. Zip drive. How old am I? Very old. On a flash drive, or you can do it on another machine on your desktop or whatever, and store it somewhere else. And in fact, multiple copies are never a bad idea. But buying a laptop in order to put the Chrome OS on it, I think, is overkill.
Right. Okay. But having an old laptop and doing it might be a lot of fun.
It would be a lot of fun. Yeah. That's not a problem. But buying a new laptop just to put the Chrome OS on it, I think would be. You're getting Chrome OS is an open source thing. So the one most people use is from a guy called Hexen, Hexen, installation is not easy. I would really look carefully at how to install it. There's a vanilla version and there's some other flavor, which I can't remember what that is. But both of those are available for download and installation wherever you want them. And you get essentially the Chrome OS. There's even a way to get the real Google Play, the Google Store on it. So there's a bunch of good reasons to play with the Chrome OS.
Would it fit on a USB?
There is a way to put it on a USB. I don't off the top of my head, and again, I can't go look. I can't off the top of my head remember if you can run it from the USB or just install it from the USB.
Okay. All right. Well, that basically answers my questions. I'll let you know what happens.
All right. Let us know. Absolutely. Thanks, Phil. A good use of an old laptop is to put Linux or maybe the Chrome OS on it so that you can play with the new operating system without spending a lot of money. And time, of course, it's time well spent. Anytime you get to stretch your brain and do stuff like that is a good time. So that's why I'm always telling people, save that old laptop, throw some Linux on it, throw some Chrome OS on it. Chrome OS, not that easy to install. You really want to look at the stuff, but it's doable. All right, our next caller is Mark from Henrietta, New York. Welcome, Mark. What's up?
Well, you'll be happy to know that my project I was waiting to talk to you was to change the screen in a laptop now running Linux Mint.
There you go.
You know, I got Wine running. I can run the stuff I that I really wanted, and I'm happy as a clam, and Microsoft can go do whatever.
Have a nice day.
Yeah.
How's that?
Anyway, let me give you some more information.
Yeah.
About a month ago, I got really unhappy with Roadrunner. Now, I've been a Roadrunner customer since the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And I was having all kinds of problems getting connectivity, so I called them up, and so the net result was they slowed me down to boot.
Yeah, yeah.
I got mad enough, I went out and got a DSL line for $20 on my regular landline phone.
Mm-hmm.
I can get the same download speed when you're all done. DSL speeds will check out faster on Roadrunner by a little bit.
Yep.
But the actual download speed of trying to drop any big files down is the same on DSL for $20 as it is on Roadrunner for close to $60.
Yep, yep.
And
it depends on where you are.
DSL
line
is a lot more reliable.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And I just thought I would point that out to you guys so that you know.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
I've had DSL forever. I've
got both of them right now, and every time I start getting real problems, I look and I'm connected to the wireless network that's on the Roadrunner.
Yep.
So... anybody know anything about trying to get secure sockets working under Wine?
What sort of problem are you having?
Well, it's not making a connection, but I suspect they just got to go set something up, right?
Yeah, it's likely that it's setting up SSL under Wine, secure socket layer under Wine is finicky.
Okay.
Because you really are setting it up in two places, right? You're setting it up inside Wine, and then you're connecting it outside Wine.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of playing with the parameters until you get it right. I'm sorry, I can't.
That's okay.
It's something you got to be sitting in front of the machine to really tell exactly where the problem is.
You know, the terrible thing about having all these adjustments is you got to go adjust them.
Yeah, exactly.
But you can do it. That's the big part.
Exactly. And it's just a matter of learning a little something. And a little knowledge is a beautiful thing. So
you got it.
Good for you.
Okay, well, that's all I had. I just thought I'd let you know that Roadrunner's just gone to crap.
Thank you, Mark.
All right, thanks.
Okay, all right, bye-bye.
I will admit that I'm having an issue with Roadrunner, but it's the television side.
Oh.
It's been over a month now, and they can't seem to fix it. And it's starting to depress me, frankly. But it's a separate issue, and I'll just keep dealing with it.
No, I've had the DSL since day one, when somebody taught me to stay up all night long.
Somebody offered to make a call, if you remember correctly.
No, that's still a little cloudy.
Yeah, it would be, sure.
Well, that was a good night.
Yeah, and morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My wake-up service, I didn't need it. I still think about that lift so much. Because, you know, nowadays, you know, because I was talking to some folks and talking about all the changes that you, I, and Steve have seen, you know, over 25 years of doing this. You know, from dial-ups and that, and going over our experiences of staying up. And then just recently, you sitting there playing with Green Lantern, Green Light, rather, and I offered to call you to make sure you went to bed.
My desktop at home is now, all my systems at home, of course, are as fast as my computer was at work. 100 megabit to the desktop. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing.
All right. Now, say you want to load software onto that Chromebook, though.
Yeah.
What do you do? Just hook up an external floppy drive? DVD? Or does it get...
No, you can't add software. I don't know what you mean by add software.
Say, like, I want to run... for my checking.
You do it online. There's no local nothing on this.
Okay.
So there are half a dozen really nice local checking things that'll connect to your bank and do whatever you want to do. Send out checks.
Like right now I use, what is it?
Intuit?
No, not Intuit. What's the other one? Quicken.
Quicken, yeah. There's an online version.
Oh.
And so you would first at your desk...
Yeah.
You would connect up to that online version and move all your stuff up.
Yeah.
Then you could log on from there or from your
Chromebook. And then it's safer.
It's safer. They've got connection, blah, 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 blah. You don't download software to this. But at a decent speed like I'm getting, it's so fast that it's a lot like having a standard system. So it's all very nice, very easy, very fast. And very much time for us to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Nick Francesco, and you. 41 minutes after the hour, Soundbites, member supported, Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And at 46 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. I just realized Steve's not here, so there's no mic, there's no cameras on us.
Yeah.
I could be dancing in my seat, picking my nose, taking my clothes off.
No, Rob's watching.
Oh, hi, Rob.
Maybe.
Pretty unlikely. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Charles from Webster, New York. Welcome, Charles. What's up?
Yeah, hi, guys. First, I got to thank that previous caller. We've been struggling all week with trying to figure out this $40 difference between DSL and Time Warner, and that was exactly what we needed to know. So we're going to move forward with that.
There you go.
So happy about that. We
well, figured, like I've said, there is a caveat. Part of the deal with DSL is distance from the central office, which, of course, is neither central nor an office. But... so you need to be careful of that. For example, my max speed was 6 gig.
Okay.
On DSL. But that said, it was my 6 gig. I didn't share it with anybody, so it didn't slow down in the evening when kids are online or whatever. So that was always a straight 6 gig no matter what happened. Now, Greenlight is much faster and also all mine, but that aside, I mean, just be aware that you know, your mileage may vary.
So you're talking about geographical location?
Yes. Okay. What happens is you
distance.
Have a DSL line to the central office where it joins a main trunk.
Okay.
That distance determines your speed.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, so Frontier will be able to tell you what speed you should expect. They told me 4, I got 6, I was very happy.
They're telling me 7.
There you go then. Then good.
Awesome.
Yeah. If they've already told you that and you already know that, then you know going into it what to look forward to.
But the guy I was talking to had a southern accent from like Louisiana. He wasn't anywhere near here. So
they still should know the differences.
Yeah.
David, his old shop was, what, 6.5 inches from the CL?
Yeah. I could rap on the wall from where my old shop was, you know, and tell him, hey, reset it.
Yeah.
We had to go next door one time and literally do that. They did. Oh, no problem. And they reset it, and we were back up. Yep. I mean, talk about lightning speed.
You
can't get any closer than we were there.
Right.
But the other thing, though, that runs against Roadrunner, though, is granted, you know, it is over cable, but the issue they run there is if they have too many folks coming into one central point.
Right.
They can sit there and guarantee, you know, oh, well, we can give you all these speeds. Well, it depends on if you're in a highly populated area or not, and how many folks are coming into that switch.
To that head end.
The head end, yeah. Head end. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. The more people, you should have fewer than 100.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's general with internet. Under any circumstances, you start getting more than 100 connections, you start getting a lot of collisions, and it slows down the traffic. But so if you're in a neighborhood that has, fewer than 100 connections on your Time Warner cable, fewer than 100 people connected to the head end, you get great speed. If you have 150, you got an issue. At certain times of the day. Now, when I had Time Warner cable, most of my work was being done at 2-3 in the morning, so I owned the internet.
Right.
Right. Now with fiber, I own my connection right to the central trunk, and it's fiber. It's light, so there's not a lot of. I don't have collisions at all going to the trunk, and it's going at 100 megabits per second. So. I never have an issue, but
you really enjoy rubbing that fiber thing into the
rug,
don't you?
I'm telling you, everybody can have it. All you got to do is get your whole neighborhood to request it, and they'll put you on the list.
Okay.
And that's what happened to us. I was actually going to do that. They will send you door hangers and flyers, and I was going to do that, but a guy up the street beat me to it, God bless him, and so our neighborhood got it.
Oh, goodness. I'll definitely put some effort into that then. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. I've had all three, and I liked all three. I'm not disparaging any of them. They all work. They all work well. They all have their little issues. I get all of that.
Did you send, like, the signatures to Greenlight, or...?
There's a little sign up thing. You can do it right online.
Oh.
And what's the word I'm looking for? It doesn't obligate you to anything.
Okay.
It's just that, yes, I'm interested.
Okay.
So come to my neighborhood.
Awesome. Okay. One other quick comment, then I'll ask my quick question. I totally agree with Dave on this Windows update thing. They're going to muck it up at some point where we're going to be stuck with something awful. I just know it.
Oh, guaranteed.
So that's so frustrating. So to my question, Soundbites is on WordPress, and regarding this prompt on WordPress for the password, remember me, or if you're on Firefox, you'll get that prompt, remember it in the browser.
Right.
I'm dying for your opinions on security. I'm old-fashioned. I write it down and type it in because I'm so paranoid. Just tell me what you think about that as far as security goes, and I'll take the answer offline, and thanks so much.
Yep. Well, here's the deal. When you say remember me, that's a cookie on your machine. So it's on your machine, not on our machine. So that's just a handshake between my machine and your machine that says I'm still this person. But that said, unless your machine is fully protected, it is certainly possible that someone else will get that cookie from you through some malicious way. Paranoids are my favorite people when it comes to security.
Yeah.
You cannot be paranoid enough. Certainly doesn't hurt to type in your password all the time. It's not like it takes you an hour and a half. It's a few seconds for a heightened security. So I say go ahead, type in your password every single time. I know a lot of people prefer to have the computer remember it, or the browser itself remember it, or check that remember me button, which isn't eternal, by the way. It still times out after a while. Again, that's your choice. I'm with Charles. I type my password in all the time. And there are people who always say to me, oh, I can't remember passwords. Yeah, you can. You aren't stupid. I know you aren't stupid. I know you can remember them. You just don't want to. You may be lazy, but you're not stupid. I remember 40 passwords, and I'm old and something. So.
No, I'm still older than you.
Yeah, you are. You're older than dirt.
I invented dirt.
Yeah. So you can remember passwords. I know you can. And so if you're like Charles, the easiest way to assuage your paranoia is to constantly be typing in the password. And I certainly don't have a problem with that. That's a good way to do it. It doesn't harm anybody to do it that way. And it makes you that just a little bit more secure. So I say go for it. But of course, also I'm on Linux and Chrome, so I don't worry as much about having stuff stolen from me as other people might on other operating systems. So, but yeah, Charles, I say go for it. I say keep typing it in. You're in good shape right there. All right, that's it. That music tells me that you've wasted two solid hours of your life on this nonsense. That's all right. You'll get a chance to do it again in 166 hours. So gird your loins and prepare your... I don't know if you want to keep your loins girded for 166 hours. So relax for a while. But don't go away, because George is coming in to play the best German music you will hear all week. Michael's here to keep him on the straight and narrow. I'm out of here. Dave's out of here. And we will see you next week. I want to thank everyone who called in. I want to apologize to those of you to whom we did not get. Seriously, call earlier next week. We can't stretch the show to get you all in. But we'll be back next week with Dave Enright, probably Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 55 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known and unknown universe. It's Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you next week.